as we progress into the chapter this morning, we spent quite a few weeks on the first four verses, laying the foundation, I believe, that's been my intention, for verse 5, where it becomes very, very practical. It becomes the so what, in a sense. Writing to people, encouraging them to stand strong in the faith and not get sidetracked by the other options out there, the other heresies, the distracting false teachings that comes into the rest of this book. So verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same value, the same kind as ours. How did it come? By the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the epigenosko, the true knowledge, the real knowledge of God, knowing him for who he really is, and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine nature, God the Son, Jesus, divinity, his godness, seeing that his divine power has made a present to us, granted to us, everything pertaining to life and godliness, the way of life, choices we make, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, by this glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them, his glory and excellence, you might become partakers. And really, again, the Greek grammar then, you have become partakers of the divine nature. He is in you, having escaped corruption, or the corruption, the death, decay description there that we had prior, that is in the world by lust. And here's kind of a layman's way to look at it and say it. He has done this. Now, act on it. It's pretty basic. Somebody brought up, maybe, I don't remember, Johnny, if it was you a week or two ago, the times that Paul uses the wording, walk in a manner that's worthy. That's what he is saying in his way. And that's that axios word, that bringing up the beam. Here's all that Christ has done for you. Now bring up the beam. Act on it. I want you to look at 1 John. Just turn a couple of pages to the right. Chapter 2. Stepping into kind of the end of a verse, but we'll use it as a standalone at this point. 1 John 2, verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Doesn't that make sense? And John is very sensible. You say this, well, let's see it. James, same thing, very sensible. You say that you have faith, show me. It all really does mesh together, approaching it from different angles, using different words, saying the same thing. Now, here in 2 Peter, here is a done deal. He has rescued us from that corruption, placed us into life, even placed life in us, his divine nature in us. We're koinonia, we're fellowship, we're sharers in his divine nature. He has granted that to us and given us the ability for life and all godliness. He has given us the ability to do what he's about to say to do. He has done this. Now act on it. And so verses 5 and following come in. Now for this very reason, because he has done this, and all that he's done, this is foundational, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Boy, there's a lot packed into these verses too. And kind of walk through it step at a time. Verse 5, there's a couple of words that I will define the Greekness of them. Start in verse 5. Because he has done this, act on it. Now for this very reason, we've escaped that corruption and been placed into his life and his life in us. For this very reason, applying all diligence, which really does mean to move forward in it. Go after it. Go after it purposely. In your faith, supply moral excellence. I want to look at the word supply. Different versions here may word it differently. Does anybody have another option? In your faith, supply moral excellence. What word do you have instead of the word supply? Any options here? Is supply used in each one of the Bibles? Supplement. Okay, Biff?
Well, reading the Young's literal translation, it uses the word super add.
Interesting.
Old word.
Super add. Add. Okay, add is the main option. Supplement. In my looking up of the Greek there of the word supply, it is the word that really means to collect and bring these into what you have. The word furnish is proper. In fact, it's used in the definition of that word. Okay, that brought some imagery to my mind. For we that have moved into an empty house, what do you need to do? You got the house, but you need to furnish the thing. You need to collect what it takes to live in there in a right way. And what you collect to move into it, it doesn't start with a septic tank. This means to furnish it because it's established and ready to go. In your faith, you're there. Bring into it moral excellence. I like that picture really a lot. Moral excellence is the first, well, can we call it furniture for a moment? I don't know why not. Moral excellence, it's one word that is the same word used about God up above. At the end of verse 3, who called us according to his own glory and excellence. It's the word virtue. It's kind of implied about God that it's power, but it's not so much power with us. The virtue, the idea of moral excellence, the moral virtue. Here's the definition. Virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, including modesty and purity. It covers our way of life. Virtuous course of thought, how we think, and how we feel. But sometimes my feelings get out of order, though. Whether it's anger or feeling of passionate desire towards something that isn't mine. We can call it covetousness. We can call it lust, these drives. How is it that the feelings can come into order here? That's very practical. According to Paul, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about what? Renewing our mind. We can't just renew the feelings. Oh, stop feeling that. We feel that because we thought over here, and it becomes kind of twisted. Whether it's thinking about God or thinking about ourselves that's wrong, or thinking about other people that are wrong, thinking about our circumstances that are wrong. What comes on the heels of that are emotions. Thank God for your emotions, that God made us with feelings. But the virtuous course of action is that, man, if those feelings are wrong, something is at the root of that. What am I thinking that's off? Let's come back to thinking about truth. Philippians 4, 8. Here's a list of things. Let your mind dwell on these sorts of things. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Down to 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not going to this place of painful anxiousness. Virtuous thought, the definition said, virtuous feelings, and virtuous actions. And it involves moral, doing it right according to what God says is moral, not according to the world says, because that's constantly changing. It seems like the world is constantly saying, well, this isn't as bad as that. And then the next thing, well, this isn't. And it gets worse and worse and deeper and deeper. And what we, in this class, you know this, what we used to sneak in the shadows is done brazenly today and publicized internationally. Okay, what God says is morally pure, correct. So, in your faith, furnish, bring in moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And I don't know that this is intended to be, you know, here's a brick and stack a brick on top of it, stack another brick, you know, as much as this is a whole deal and there's no other way of communicating all of these things. The knowledge is not epigenosko. We've spent a lot of time talking about that word, the true knowledge, knowing something for what it really is. This is the general term for knowledge, the details. Learn more about God. Pursue that. Learn more about what God says. Learn more about what God says about me. What God says about people. You know, and just... God has got plenty packed into this Bible. You're not going to come to the end of it in this lifetime. Moral excellence. That makes room for me to see knowledge and place it where it needs to go in a proper way according to God. Let's call it truth. Thinking right. Having my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions going in the right direction, let's call it godliness. He brings that word into it a little bit later. He's given us everything that we need to have this. He's already told us in the preceding verses. Acknowledge. Well, that is really kind of cool that God never, ever tells us to set aside our brain. Our ability to reason through, be logical, faith that we have in Jesus is not a leap in the dark hoping to grab onto something that's tangible. It is based on reality, and we can search it out. In fact, would you pray for my friend, Patrick? I just wrote a long letter to him last night, email, and sent it to him. An evangelism letter. He's known us for a really long time. Detailed out why I believe in Jesus. It's not unreasonable. It's very reasoning. add knowledge to this right, virtuous excellence. In your knowledge, verse 6 says, self-control. Well, that makes sense. That's going to be related to how I think. It's going to be related to how I feel. It's going to be related to my actions. I'm going to be able to make a decision to apply patience, not just hope that it mystically comes. I can do this because God's grace. I can. I can live with the situation. I can endure. In fact, I think it's the next word that comes up. In your self-control, perseverance. Act right. And when someone else is not acting right, because our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions have been brought into a right place with God, He's going to give me the grace to know and do what is right. We've talked this morning about some people that are not acting right. Well, the world would say, pay them back. They slap you, you slap them. Do you remember the saying when you were in grammar school? I'm not even till I'm one ahead. Maybe it was only my school that used that, you know? Whatever. We have this tendency to, you know, sock them back, make them hurt. And then we can feel good about it, which I never felt very good about it myself. Not for very long anyway. Don't go that way. Self-control says, God, I want my actions to be under your control. What you say is right. God, give me your grace. That does not mean that we sit back and let somebody run over the top of us. There are legal means, certainly. I'm looking, of course, Carolyn and Tom, and what you're in right now. And there are ways to pray that God just makes this thing come out in the wash. No question about it. It's a wrong situation. Well, perseverance is a word that basically means wait behind. We're waiting expectantly. We're holding in there until things are right. We are moving forward as God moves us forward. Perseverance. Steadfast. Constancy. Endurance. Thayer's lexicon says this about that Greek word for perseverance. He says, perseverance, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Unswerving, steadfastly moving toward God. Knowing that, Philippians says, God's going to supply all of our needs. James 1:5, God's going to supply the wisdom that we need. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, He knows our needs even before we ask. But as I've seen life work out, He often waits till we ask. Isn't that interesting? Why? Why? Why not just put it in front of me, man? It's all good. Because He wants me to learn more and more about what it is to rely on Him, trust Him, follow Him. But He's there. Okay. In your faith, supply moral excellence, virtue. In your virtue, moral excellence, supply knowledge. Furnish another piece of furniture. In your knowledge, furnish self-control. In your self-control, furnish perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And I didn't really find a better word to describe godliness than the word godliness. Acting as we should because we belong to Him. In your godliness, supply brotherly kindness. That is one word. It's the word Philadelphia. It's the phileo Greek word for love. And then your brotherly kindness furnish love. That is agape. There's one other place that I found, and it was, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere Philadelphia, fervently agape one another from the heart. Typically, I don't find those two words used together, but here's two places, and Peter used them both. Or it was Peter in both places that brought in, first of all, phileo, or Philadelphia, and then agape. Here's my take on it. Brotherly kindness part, sensitive, genuine concern for needs around us. Genuine concern for people. And love, desiring and pursuing the highest good for the other individual. Fit together? Sure. Sure. One of the things that I have tried over the years periodically to communicate to our young people in the youth group when they are in their admission that they're attracted to somebody of the opposite sex and then in pursuit of the same, specifically for the guys, we have the world putting in front of us examples of what we ought to be. And oftentimes, it's really not stuff that a young lady that is in her sensible mind is most attracted to. That it's not about big trucks and big arms. When a man is kind. Ladies, do you agree with that? When a man is kind, it goes so much further than all the other stuff. And so the advice to a young lady is careful for what you watch for and what you're attracted to, right? Well, this sensitivity, let's take it outside of that world of attraction in that sense, boy and girl, to what are people of this, of our neighborhood, attracted to? Somebody that's doing this horrible stuff like on your road? No, that brings fear and retribution in my, you know, all of this stuff. What is it that's going to cause somebody, like my dear friend asked you to pray for a minute ago, to consider what I'm saying about Jesus? Well, guess what? He's lived with us for months at a time, for a month at a time, multiple times. He sees us from the inside out. And I told him in this letter, says, you've seen me at my worst at times. That side that I don't want anybody to see, because you've lived here. But he already has told me, I know you really love Jesus, and I really respect you for that. You see, our kindness, our tenderness, our sensitivity toward people is going to take us a long way down that road to convincing somebody that this Jesus stuff is real. Why do you believe it? What is there about it? Well, it makes sense that that's part of our life. And so, brotherly kindness is brought into it. Even in perseverance. Did that follow perseverance? No, it followed godliness. Perseverance, act right, godliness. And in your godliness, tenderness, sensitivity, genuine concern for needs and people. You know, I look at somebody I'm going to keep referring back. I think it's okay to do this. Somebody that's been mean like that, Carolyn. Somebody that's just been cruel and mean. Somewhere in there, there's a very, very broken person. You know? Can I step back and look at them like that? That doesn't fix the situation, but it can help me. Right? There is somebody that is hurting and broken. And sometimes they don't even like themselves. I've heard those words. I don't even like who I am. Well, boy, I wish we could fix that. But that can help me in my perception of them and what I do. So it's godliness that comes back instead of retribution that comes back. The perseverance, brotherly kindness. Philadelphia doesn't involve just the brothers in Christ. It involves other people. Whoever God has brought into our life, kindness, sensitivity, and then pursuing the highest for their to meet their needs. Sometimes that is absolutely sacrificial, giving up of my needs and my rights for someone else. That's where agape comes in, is different than Philadelphia, as I see it. Those are the elements. And then he talks about them as a big whole. So let's just stop for a minute and come back and chat or ask questions. Anybody? Interaction? Go ahead, Richard. Persevere. Not just in our church, but in our life. Yeah. That we hang in there, and actually it literally means to kind of follow behind what is happening. Because what is happening, we can't do much about. But how we respond to it, that's where we are responsible.
So Dan, I'm kind of caught in between a couple of concepts here. Having read 2 Peter chapter 1 and that list of characteristics, attributes that we are supposed to incorporate into our faith, and then the verse you referred us to in 1 John 2, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And I'm assuming that the characteristics in 2 Peter would be part of the walk that Jesus demonstrated and that I am supposed to demonstrate. And I follow my faith. There are times I'm not doing a very good job of adding and reflecting to others those attributes. I do become short. I do say the wrong thing. I don't demonstrate patience, let alone knowledge. How do I bring the abiding, which I'm interpreting as the living in, how do I incorporate that idea with my stumbling along this path? I don't reflect the same way in which he walked. How do I resolve that without going into despair and say, what's the use? Flip it in.
Falling on one's face is described by the Greek word parapipto. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 is written to pull people up out of despair. You have not lost your salvation. You can't start over with salvation again. Get up and keep moving forward. I bring a lot of other scriptures into, I'm going to say just this moment, I'll get to you. I'll get right directly there. I bring in a lot of other scriptures that have to do with, again, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's grace to get up and keep moving. Armin, go ahead.
One of the things is that I don't think anybody has these virtues on their own effort. Those are gifts of God that He just gives to us if we're open to them.
I see.
Yes. And I agree that because He has given it to us, yes, I'm with you, yet at the same time, He tells me as a command to do it in verse 5.
Yeah, but the thing is that we're able to do it only because He has given those things.
Yes. Yes. I cannot go out and do this on my own. And as Dave has pointed out, I'm not real successful in my even relying on Him for this. Why is that? I believe it is because something has gone awry again in my thinking, in my feelings that He's already talked about here. I believe that there is a constant maintenance on this, not maintaining salvation, but maintaining a walk that is honest before Him. Yes.
That it's not possible to have any of these things, like gritting our teeth and I'm going to have knowledge, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's just all the new nature He has given us.
How do I avoid the despair that comes from my failure?
I would take it right back to focusing on Him. Back to Hebrews 12. Back to my eyes on Jesus. Ephesians 6,
having my eyes on Him, take it back to Him. What is it about going back to Him that addresses my problem?
I've got no problem with that answer for myself. My understanding, I have to come back to who He really is. Is He really here as my Father, as my Savior, as the one walking with me, as the one carrying me? Take my mind back to that place. Know that I'm forgiven and say, Lord, give me the grace to do right. In fact, in some cases, 1 John 2 deals with this. It's forgiving myself also and getting up, not condemning myself.
May I throw in one other element? Because okay. I know we're bumping up the time. 1 John chapter 1, there is a perpetual cleansing that goes on. If I am in the faith to begin with, the cleansing does not stop. My sin does not interrupt the cleansing. If it did, the cleansing is not perpetual.
It would be despair.
So that is where I have to go. God, You know the kind of person I am. You've already made provision for that. All I can do is fall in front of You and say thank You for knowing and taking care of where I am. If I'm not in that place, all is lost.
Okay.
Charlie?
Well, to make a big difference between intentional sins and things we fall into.
Yes.
Okay.
How about the child?
We need to make the question to Clark again. There is knowledge to be pursued. It is truth from God's word that I believe answers and applies to those that what Dave is bringing out there clearly. We, Dave and I both, have dealt with other people who have been in despair because of their tripping up. Some because of purposeful sin that they just finally realized that was stupid. Others, they fell into it. One way or the other, God is there. God is there. God is there. Walking alongside them, restoring them to the fellowship with the Lord, as Galatians 6:1 talks about, that's our position there. But I have to come back to what is true. Am I forgiven? Yes. Thank You, by the blood of Jesus, that is what 1 John 1 teaches. No question. Anyway, thank you.
That's a good question. So hard that they do turn their back on Christ, not that they lost their salvation, but they just turn their back.
Peter in 2 Peter is going to deal with some of those. Coming right up. Yeah, I'm going to just give it a short. I personally believe that there are people that God has taken their life early because they were going a wrong direction or doing too much damage, maybe because of a callous heart. Are they still saved? That's, we'll see in the future. That's for God to sort out. I believe so, if they knew the Lord. I do believe that. But what is the evidence that they knew the Lord when they're showing all this other evidence? That's for God to sort out. 2 Timothy, by the way, chapter 2, deals with that same thing with Hymenaeus and Philetus. God knows those who are his, is what Paul concludes. So, can someone go to that point? I guess, yes, they can get so callous. Is God still going to be working on them? Yes, if they belong to him. Quick answer. It should be a lot longer answer. We don't have time, though. Yeah.
One thing, you were talking about despair, right? When I went to court with Dylan, went to prison, and we paid the money and they took him down the hallway, I was in total despair, broken. But, in fact, today, I just trusted in the Lord. Down the road, something was going to happen that was positive, right? So I kept that thought in my brain. It did go there. I mean, Dylan did come out, and he's better than he was when he went in, much better, stronger. But it's God, yeah. I mean, it's a long walk.
Yeah.
And you have to trust. You have to first have perseverance. Because of those difficult times, you have to continue to keep walking. God will show himself to you. It could be 10 years down the road. You can look back on that situation. Say, God was there the whole time. And God is good. I mean, that's where I go to it now. Just my small accomplishment that I have.
Laurel, is it quick? I saw your hand.
For the word perseverance and following behind is addicts, any kind of addict will fall, and the worst thing they can do is, oh, I'm done, I can't get up. But, put your hands to the plow and don't look back.
Okay.
Get up.
Well, Father, we bow before you, thanking you that these things are possible in our life because you are in our life. It is your grace or we can't do it. And thank you, Lord, that we can improve. We can keep on moving forward. And like this very next verse says, these qualities increasing in our life. Thank you, Lord. We're not walking on water. We haven't reached perfection, but you're still working on us. We're your child. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your training. Thank you for your patience toward us. In Jesus' name, amen.